Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team,
LA Rams. Going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Thursday edition of Locked On Rams. You know what that means. We're excited. We got Jake Ellenbogen with us from downtown Rams. We'll get to that conversation here in just a minute. We got some fun things going on. In matter of fact, since it's a Thursday, we'll kind of have a little throwback Thursday theme here. We've partnered with Pro Image Sports here out in LA to give away a limited edition of a Mitchell and Ness Eric Dickerson throwback jersey. It's a $150 jersey. It's dope. It's actually the jersey, the authentic replica of the one he wore in the 1984 season. This time, instead of an online engagement that we did last time, you must go in person. So I'm calling out all of my local LA listeners. You got to go visit Pro Image Sports in Del Amo Fashion Center. That's located at 3525 West Carson Street, Torrance, California, for your chance to enter the raffle to win this iconic jersey. Winner will be announced on the podcast, Locked On Rams, Thursday morning, 10:10. So be sure to tune in to find out if you listen. Just head to the store. You'll find out all the details there as far as entering. Basically, just enter your name. But live at the Del Amo Fashion Center, if you got a chance, do it this weekend. I know our game is, as you're listening this today, it's game day. But get down there this weekend. Enter to win the jersey. Eric Dickerson throwback jersey. Can't go wrong with that. Also, make sure to go give us a follow, LA_RamblingBear on Twitter, Locked On Rams Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Downtown Rams. Give them a follow. Check out the website, downtownrams.com. Also, JK Bogan, DTR, give that a follow. Hit the subscribe button on all of our podcasts. Jake's doing a bunch from the halftime show to Downtown Rams. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Himalaya. You can find us there. As always, hit the subscribe button. Like, share. We always appreciate you guys hitting us up, reaching out with questions. Got a couple fan questions today that we'll get to later in the show. But with that, let's get into it. I'm Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. I'm joined by Jake Ellenbogen, and this is your lead story. Jake, it's a quick turnaround for both teams. The Rams are a little banged up. They're coming off a bad loss at home. Goff is struggling. O-line is struggling. Defense gave up 55 in their last outing. And Todd Gurley is getting 5 carries last week. Looking at all the storylines coming into this game, what stands out to you most in this short week?
Yeah, I think it's the Rams only give Todd Gurley 5 carries. I mean, this is the same guy that was going toe-to-toe with Tom Brady for the quarterback's award that he had no chance of winning, but he actually should have won it, the MVP award in 2017. He was on pace to break LaDainian Tomlinson's touchdown single-season record last year, before he not only laid down and gave up 2 touchdowns for the good of the team, but then he got hurt and then they really started, you know, relying more on the passing attack. Which is so confusing to me is when CJ Anderson came in, you know, they were using Todd Gurley and CJ Anderson in the playoffs. It worked very well. As a matter of fact, it worked so well, they really ran all over the Cowboys defense that every single media person was raving about. Look, I get it, okay? I do. It's hard to manage the game. It's hard to have a flow of the game. It's hard to have an overall game flow and you know, continue to balance your offensive attack. The passing game's fun. And when you have Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, and Brandon Cooks, it's hard to not want to throw every down. But then you realize you have Todd Gurley, who is, by a wide margin, maybe except for Saquon Barkley, is the best running back in the National Football League, and that's Todd Gurley. He had 2 touchdowns on 5 carries. What kind of touchdown percentage is that? I mean, he had 5 carries, right, and 2 of them were touchdowns. That is incredible. You know, that run, the 14-yard scamper where he basically ran through the defense, broke like multiple tackles. Yeah, it goes to my point. I said it all off season long. The knee is overblown. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. His knee injury, I believe, is legit. And it will, you know, I say it all the time. He won't end up being Frank Gore, who just got, you know, 15,000 yards rushing. But he doesn't need to be Frank Gore. he needs to be Todd Gurley, and he needs to help the Rams now. And I feel like they're kind of forgetting how important he is to this offense.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'll double down on that. It is just kind of crazy. You're looking at, and I'll go even as far as, yes, I want Todd Gurley to be, you know, the carry leader in that room. But also, you know, if we as a unit are getting 25, 30 carries, I'm going to start to, you know, be a little bit more happy and understand the balance of this offense and opening up the play action for Jared Goff. And we can start to maybe come off of, you know, off of his shoulders as far as putting everything on his plate with 68 passing attempts. And I understand the narrative of, you know, getting behind early and this and that, but you're talking about, I mean, you know, five carries, two touchdowns, and that touchdown run that you described, that I think all of us agree that we saw that old Todd Gurley. And if he had another 20 yards to go in front of that, he might have wiggled out of some of those other tackles and gotten more yards. And, you know, it could have been even a bigger run, but we're that close to the end zone. But yeah, it's not so much that I need it to be Todd Gurley in an excessive amount. I need some runs. So if it's Malcolm Brown, if it's even us finally seeing, you know, Daryl Henderson, the guy that we traded picks to move up to go grab, and the rest of the league seemed to be like, wow, great pick, man. Great pick. That's going to be awesome in that offense. And, you know, you're starting to wonder, you know, why isn't he involved in any sense? But yes, we'd like to see Todd Gurley be the first one to kind of interact on some carries. And I understand the knee thing that you brought up and saying, you know, there may be an issue there down the road, but right now watching him run, watching him catch and move and take hits, you know, he looks pretty healthy. And I understand there's 17 weeks in this season, and we've got to, you know, if we want to get to the Super Bowl and want to have him effective at that point, there's got to be a plan. But I don't know where in the plan it said five carries, right? I just don't see that. I mean, even looking in the past couple of weeks, 10 carries, very low double digit numbers. We got to get him involved. Finally got him involved in the passing game, which was exciting, but needs something else in that ground game attack. Do you think we see Henderson anytime soon, or is it still we're waiting on that guy?
I mean, you already know he's my number one running back from this draft class. And, you know, I think it's tough because when you trade for a guy like that, you trade up to get a guy like that. Clearly, you think he's the real deal. And I guess we really were kind of faked out. It was almost like a pump fake, you know, in the offseason, because it was like, oh yeah, this guy is going to be like Alvin Kamara his rookie year. Like we're going to use him, and he's running with the ones, and he's running out there with Todd Gurley, and they're both flexing out wide to, yeah, about him, one carry. He's the long-term thing. He's not going to help us right now. And you know what? I don't think that I could give the coaching staff that credit to be able to figure that out right now, because I don't think they know what they want to do. I've been really critical, and I hate being that way because I love Sean McVay and company, but I mean, what are they doing? You know, they drafted Bobby Evans in the third round, a guy that is extremely raw. Well, you know, look at their offensive line situation. They now have no depth, and they don't even have a legitimate starting guard. I mean, I love Joseph Noteboom, you know, interviewed him at the Senior Bowl, but it doesn't look like he's going to be able to just go ahead right away and be Saffold. He's going to have to develop. This is his first year starting. Same with Brian Allen. So, you know, I mean, you're talking about all of those trades and such, you know, with Scherf and Trent Williams. I mean, it kind of just goes back to Daryl Henderson. Like, what were they doing in this draft? Luckily, they got Taylor Rapp, but Daryl Henderson, to me, is the best running back from this class from anybody that I scouted, you know, Josh Jacobs being a close second. But I'd like to see them use him. And to I don't think that they've used Gurley or Malcolm Brown enough to basically say, no, we can't afford to let Henderson play. I think you really need to do a better job of, you know, letting these guys, you know, show what they can do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, trying to split it up and just give them something to work with so you can look at something on film and understand how you want to use them, right? As you get them into some plays and go, that didn't really work. And let's try to figure out a way to get them in, whether it's 20 carries for Todd Gurley, 8 carries for Malcolm Brown, and 3 carries for Daryl Henderson. Now you're, you know, up and over that 30 carry mark. You find some balance. Jared Goff maybe has, you know, 35 passes, 28 passes with that. You've got to balance the offense. And maybe there's some times where you have to go a little bit heavier on the pass, and we understand that. But to get him in there, to spend the pick, to have everyone kind of say, wow, that guy's going to be good. That, like you said, the comp is Alvin Kamara, that you can come in and really have an effect. that we're not using them on those end of rounds, or, you know, getting them on a reverse, or trying to get them on in there on passing downs and find a way to get the hands in the ball, or even a draw to him. You know, I mean, there's multiple ways to get him involved. They don't seem ready to do that. As you said, we'll have to kind of pay attention and see when he starts to get some action. If he's a long-term plan, I'd like to see short-term how we'd like to, you know, trial this out and see what we could do with them. But that is what we'll have to kind of wait on and see what they do there. We'll step aside. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We're going to get a couple words from some sponsors. Thursday edition, Lockdown Rams, Jake and Bear, right after this. Before we get there, don't forget, treat yourself to a meal that you deserve. You have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when downloading the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. Also sponsoring the podcast and potentially sponsoring your wallet is mybookie.ag. Game-winning touchdowns on a two-minute drive, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to throw a little cash down on them. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. Whether you like betting on fantasy players, they got you covered there. Do you like parlays, betting a little bit, winning a lot? If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. No matter how you bet on the NFL season, this is the best time of the year. My favorite is betting in-game, live during the action. Let's say the Rams are down 10 at half. You think they're going to come back and win. You can bet, hedge your bet, however you want to do it, but you can bet during the action. I love that part of this with MyBookie. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
Go win nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped. It's bad boy for life. We ain't go win nowhere.
All right, Rams Nation, we are back Thursday edition. We've got Jake Ellenbogen from Downtown Rams with us. We always appreciate him joining us, his insight, his passion, bringing that draft knowledge into the regular season and more. Make sure to go check him out at downtownrams.com. Awesome podcast, awesome content. As we move along here, I kind of want to stick on some of this girly stuff. We'll get to some of the defense and some of the other, you know, offensive line and talking about this short week going up to Seattle. But I want to talk about, you know, Todd Gurley's mood and his understanding of his role in this offense. Got a great question from Abel Gonzalez on Instagram. And basically he was saying, you know, should we be looking into the way that he's reacting to the media? Or is it understandable that his reaction to the same question over and over again is getting boring? And he's just kind of over it. He's kind of playing. It's like a lightened version of the Marshawn Lynch. Like, I don't really care. I'm just going to give you one word answers. And, you know, he got a little testy at the end with Vinny Bonsignor, who came out on a tweet and said, I have no hard feelings. I totally understand it. You know, we're sitting here asking questions over and over again. And why aren't you getting the ball? And what's wrong with your knee? And, you know, there's not a lot of things that he can say. But your thoughts on Todd Gurley, his, you know, perceived mood in the media lately, and is it a big deal?
Yeah. By the way, I have to bring something up. Excuse me. Henderson. Here are the guys that have more yards than Henderson. I just thought this was really funny. David Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Devin Singletary, D'Ernest Johnson, Tony Pollard, Ty Johnson, Josh Jacobs, Justice Hill, Darwin Thompson, Alexander Mattison, Ryquell Armstead. Oh, Alec Ingold has the same amount of, no, he actually has more rushing yards than Daryl Henderson. He has one more carry than him. John Hilleman and Benny Snell. Mm. Okay, I'm done. Those are all rookies, by the way.
Just needed to be said.
It did. But anyway, I am all for Todd Gurley doing whatever he wants. At the end of the day, this guy has every reason to be mad. The Rams lost. As he said, we scored 40 points and we lose. You know, I don't think, you know, the offense was entirely an issue.
Right.
And coming from his perspective, dude, I got 5 carries. I scored twice. Don't pin this on me. This is not my fault. You know, I'm the thing that I stress really hard about is the fact that Todd Gurley, like, are we forgetting Todd Gurley was the thing that made, like, he was the engine that made this offense move?
100%.
Sean McVay, you know, he's so, like, his offense is so predicated on the play action passing attack. Look at Jared Goff's stats when he can, you know, run play action. I mean, now it just seems like, first off, I would love to challenge Sean McVay to not go with his scripted plays to start the game. Do something completely different.
Yeah.
Because it hasn't worked. They haven't scored a first quarter touchdown. I think my boy Blaine tweeted it out. It's like the longest time the Rams haven't scored a first quarter touchdown. And since, what's his face? Schottenheimer was the offensive coordinator. Oof. It is so important for the Rams to get ahead early on, because Sean McVay, when the Rams are ahead at halftime, Sean McVay is undefeated.
Yeah. Crazy.
He doesn't lose. It's like, you know, and in the Seattle Seahawks coming into this game, did you see that crazy stat? It's unbelievable.
Which one?
It's like the Seahawks, when up at halftime, went up by more than 4 points at halftime, 4 points or more, the Seahawks have won 53 straight games.
Wow.
That's incredible. Who can, you can't even talk about the Patriots in that way. That's, I mean, that is absurd.
So it's like first one to halftime, basically, in this game. It's like you got to be leading at half or we're breaking some records.
I do have this as a 4-point affair. But yeah, just to answer your question, I side with Todd Gurley. I understand his frustrations, and I think, you know, he's one of the better guys in the league at being just a good person and a good teammate. And he's constantly, you know, he's been a leader. Dude, he's not a captain anymore. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why is no one talking about that? I mean, the dude basically sacrificed being a captain.
Right.
You know, for guys that weren't on the team last year.
Yeah. And I side with Todd Gurley too, because I can't imagine how annoying it is where you've been asked the same question 900 different ways. And it's their job. They got to keep poking and prying and trying to get something out. And the something out that they got this week was Todd Gurley's kind of pissed off and he's not having it. And, you know, when you don't want to expand on a topic, when especially when you see a reporter chasing an answer, right? And they're trying to say, you know, set you up for give me something about this. And he's like, not going to do it. Just not going to do it. I don't have to do it, you know, and I, you know, I'm here. I'm doing what I'm obligated to. And you saw earlier in the offseason, there were times where he kind of came up and had some good laughter and where he's in good mood and, you know, kind of enjoyed it a little bit. But for the most part, since the Super Bowl, he's been kind of like this at the podium. He's not the greatest interview. And same way with Jared Goff. Jared Goff, you know, just says a little bit more, but it's just as boring. But yeah, so I don't take much to this. I understand, especially after a big loss like that, and you got 5 carries, 2 touchdowns, the offense scores 40 points. You're like, you're not going to go out there and throw your team under the bus, but you're just like, I'm not going to buy into these answers. So I don't think it's a big deal. And I totally understand where he's coming from. Could this get carried away? And all of a sudden, you know, he starts speaking his mind a little bit more and starts pointing fingers at people and saying, I need X amount of carries. We'll have to see if it comes to that. Then I think it could get concerning if it starts to change the culture, but I don't think this is changing the culture in the locker room. I don't think he's slighting anybody a wrong way. So Todd Gurley, if you're grumpy on the mic, I don't blame you. I'd probably be pretty grumpy up there too if you're just looking like, hey, let's talk about the Seahawks, let's try to, you know, and he just wasn't in it. So that's what that is. But as we move ahead, we look at the Seahawks and we'll flip it to the defense, because we've been talking about the offense a lot. Aaron Donald seems to love this matchup. He's done extremely well in his games against Seattle. Russell Wilson is most sacked quarterback that he's got out there. Yes, we see him twice a year, but he seems to have a number on that O-line. The Seattle Seahawks haven't had the greatest O-line in years past. They have a little bit better than they've done in the last couple of years, but still, there's some weaknesses there. Do you see this as the coming out party as far as stats, sacks, impact plays for Aaron Donald? He's been involved in the game, but not having those big, big plays. Is this the coming out party for Aaron Donald in Seattle on Thursday night?
Man, I don't know when the coming out party is. I mean, to be quite honest, it's like if Aaron Donald can't really get anything done besides, you know, put pressure on the quarterback, I'm okay with it. I mean, what he's doing has been really crucial for, you know, the production of a Clay Matthews, a Dante Fowler. Michael Brockers is second in pressures right now.
Right.
Like he on the team, I mean, he's having a really solid year as a pass rusher, a thing that really the Rams wanted to do last year with Sue. And they just, for whatever reason, Brockers had his worst year last year. So I think, you know, they obviously chose him over Sue. And it's probably why you saw some Sue, you know, when he scored the touchdown against the Rams. It seemed, I don't know, it seemed like he really enjoyed it too much.
I hated it so much. I hated it. I hated that he enjoyed it. Like, when he picked up the ball, I was like, really? It's got to be Sue to return this. And I don't know who it was. I'm trying to remember, but they like tried to clip at his feet and it didn't work. And I was like, oh no, that was the chance. But I'm with you. He really enjoyed. He was pointing at his back. I don't blame him, right? Because he got a lot of, you know, you weren't what we thought you were type of thing as he left. You know, you playoff Sue showed up. But yeah, I think he really enjoyed that moment. And I don't blame him. But it burned extra deep when that happened.
Yeah, no, and of course the icing on the cake when Havenstein dives and
that's who it was. Yeah.
He knocks one of the guys completely out of the play. It's like, oh, awesome.
Yeah,
so that, no one's gonna tackle
that's
him.
What it was.
That was Havenstein's day in a nutshell, which, I mean, just going back to the Rams defensive line, I mean, like, Aaron Donald is going to get his plays. I mean, like, he's going to get his opportunities, his licks, if you will, on the quarterback. Aaron Donald is also, you know, right around where he was last year with sacks. So, I mean, I'm not really worried.
Right.
You know, I think I would really like to see more, you know, Greg Gaines. I know people are, you know, oh, Sebastian Joseph Day had a sack. He's really good. He got absolutely obliterated in the run. I mean, like, he takes on blocks. He does well here and there, but he is not a consistent player. And I mean, he can grow, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I don't see how, again, I don't see, you know, the lack of production from the run game. I don't see how you can't use rookie Daryl Henderson to try and, like, you know, spice things up. And the lack of, and I'm not saying it's the running back's fault either. But the lack of production at the nose tackle spot, I don't see how you can't put in Greg Gaines, who you hear Les Snead absolutely rave about in one of the, you know, the behind the grinds. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I'm with you.
I'm tired of it, you know?
And especially when you get a guy like Aaron Donald getting double, triple teamed, you need some other people to step up. And you mentioned, you know, Brockers, you know, finally getting to the quarterback. And I think Matthews leads the team on sacks and pressures. But you're looking at trying to find more out of Dante Fowler, even though you've seen flashes of it. And Sebastian Joseph Day, you know, I love him to get back there more. And it's frustrating, too, in that game where we're getting whooped and he was getting kind of pushed into the ground and he'd get a tackle and he'd get up and he'd freak out and he'd be slamming his helmet. I'm like, all right, get back to the huddle. Let's go. Come on. I want to see a lot more of that from you before you start flexing on cameras and, you know, getting a late penalty or anything like that. But you're right. The defense line definitely has to step it up. We'll talk a little bit more about this defense on the other side. What we'll do is we'll take a break, step aside, get a couple words from some of our sponsors. Thursday edition, Lockdown Rams with Jake and Bear right after this. Before we get over to the last segment, I want to talk to you guys about our new partner, Metro Infinity. They are located just off the 210 in Monrovia. You got to go swing by their new multi-million dollar facility. It is amazing. Check it out. They've got an incredible selection of new and used cars. They are the only dealer in California that's family owned and has been in business for over 25 years. Yes, that includes them being the number one volume dealer in California. They are dominating the game when it comes to selling cars, and especially in the Infiniti world. One of my favorite parts about Metro Infiniti is it's not like a regular dealership. If you don't like going down to the dealership and dealing with the salesperson and going through the old version of buying a car, no problem. They will bring the car and the paperwork to your home, to your office. Heck, meet them at the mall if you want. Whatever is comfortable for you, they will meet you there with the paperwork and the car. Make sure to mention Locked On because they're going to give you another $500 off your car purchase when you mention that. So if you're thinking about a new Infiniti or even in the market for a new or used car, please give them a chance to earn your business. Believe me, you will not regret it. Make sure to say what's up to my man, Billy Adams. He is the manager down there. He will take care of you. They have over 50 certified pre-owned Infinities. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. Again, they are located at 821 East Central Ave, Monrovia, California, just off the 210 in Monrovia. Metro Infinity, it will be the best car buying experience of your life.
Going nowhere, we ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped, 'cause it's bad boy for life. We ain't
All right, Rams Nation, we are back. Third and final segment. Jake, this is basically the Thursday hype edition. You're stepping in for Serena Morales since our game is on Thursday. This is the last segment before Rams Thursday night football. So we are bringing it to you guys. We're getting you amped. We're getting you ready for the game because later tonight it is a showdown in Seattle, a game that I think all of us love so much just as this, you know, in division rivalry and their fan base and our fan base and what we've really done over the past couple of years, even going back to St. Louis. The Rams seem to have a little bit of a tilt in this matchup as of recent. And Seattle fans, especially if coming from that area and still having a lot of friends in that Seattle area, they hate us because we are always giving them tough games. They just can't seem to beat us when they need to. This would be an awesome road victory. It would be, I think if I'm off the top of my head, I think this would be our third straight win in Seattle if we get this win. So would be a big win in Seattle as we look at that. And we're talking about the defense. They've got Chris Carson, who is healthy now, running really well. He got 100 yards in his last game. Pete Carroll said after the press conference, after the game, basically out of the whole team, he was most proud of Chris Carson's and the way that he was running hard throughout the whole game. Expect them to use that in this game. The Rams have been so-so against the run this year. They've really held some big-time players. But as you look at that matchup, Chris Carson versus our running game, what is your expectation again, on this short week? I basically can throw that in at every question. On a short week, what do you think about it?
On a short week, I think that Chris Carson's still, you know, a top 12 running back in the National Football League. So, you know, he's somebody that can definitely, you know, make the Rams pay. And he's got a unique blend of size and speed. And obviously the athleticism, if you saw that play against, it was the Lions when he got hit, he got flipped up, literally did a full flip and landed on his, like, I mean, it was crazy. He landed on his like legs, like his feet, like he was standing up, like kind of like Spider-Man, right? You know, when like he jumps off like a building and like it was so cool. Chris Carson's one of the more fun backs to watch, in my opinion, in the league. And I think, you know, the Rams have already done a nice job of stopping somebody like Kamara, but they've, you know, they let obviously CMC run wild. And, you know, of course, I don't think they did a good job of bottling up Ronald Jones, who at this point in his career, we don't know what he is. Like, we saw him at USC. We know he has talent. And I did mention it on our podcast that, you know, look, this kid is coming back to USC. Like, he's coming back to the Coliseum. I was expecting him to have, you know, a little juice, but he actually looked really good. And if they kept running it with him, he would have been way, you know, way over the century mark. But, Carson's huge because he can catch passes out of the backfield. He can constantly be there for Russell Wilson. So if it gets rough, Carson could be your bailout. Now, I do want to mention the Seattle Seahawks have always given the Rams trouble with one guy, actually two guys, but one guy's retired. And now this guy's going to take over in a big way. And that's Tyler Lockett. Lockett, if you remember the game at the Coliseum in 2016, when the Rams did hold on to win because of the forced fumble, the miraculous forced fumble by Alec Ogletree, right. You know, on it was Christine Michael at the time, you know, that came right after a monster play over the top where Tyler Lockett absolutely burned Troy Hill to a crisp. And I mean, you know, he can do that. I don't think people realize, you know, they look at him and they're like, oh, he's just that speedster from K-State. Like, trust me, like being a Kansas fan, I hate, you know, like ever giving K-State guys credit except for Dalton Risner because he's my dude. But he is legit. Like, we're talking, you know, Lockett could be one of the best in the league. I mean, he's not ever going to be a top five receiver, but there's no reason he can't be on the outskirts of getting in that top 10. And he's given the Rams fits already. So I would imagine now that he is the guy, he could give the Rams fits this time around. But DK Metcalf, somebody they haven't gone up against, somebody that is going to terrorize the NFC West for a long time. I think he's a generational talent at the receiver position. And I think the Rams have already done a nice job of bottling up Mike Evans. He had the one busting coverage where he got open. But aside from that, I thought Marcus Peters did a stellar job defending him. So I think they'll use that same type of, you know, approach with DK Metcalf. But the guy that you really need to keep an eye on, he's really started to, you know, come into his own. He's fifth in tight ends right now. And that is Will Disley, the former blocking tight end, the blocking specialist from Washington, where people were like, wait, they got Nick Vinette and Will Disley like isn't good. Like what? But I'll tell you right now, I liked Will Disley from the start. And, you know, he came in last year, started off really good. And, you know, he was getting multiple opportunities. He was getting in the end zone, was living in the end zone. He kind of had a start looking like, you know, Julius Thomas when he was in the Peyton Manning offense. But Disley gets hurt. They really don't get a chance to really play him. And then this season, here he is again. And folks, I mean, he's getting target after target. He's the security blanket for Russell Wilson. That's right. Russell Wilson has a security blanket. That is terrifying. I think he's a guy that, you know, the Rams have done a nice job with the tight ends. They made Jared Cook kind of look like a joke. You know, they did a nice job stopping Cameron Bray and OJ Howard, in my opinion, last week. You know, I overall, I really like the way they've defended tight ends this year. But I will say this. Will Disley could be the hardest one that they face simply because of the volume that he's going to get. The targets he gets allows him, you know, to make plays. And he's got some sneaky athleticism, you know, doesn't look like, you know, a Travis Kelce. But, man, he still makes plays and he can make a man miss and he's got enough power to break tackles. So I'd watch out for him this Thursday night.
Yeah, and it's crazy. They have such good chemistry too, the two of them early, and that is a huge part of understanding where he's going to be. Russell knows how he's going to move and those type of things. And you can tell when Russell gets a receiver like that, it's a dangerous guy. And really, one of those things you talked about, Marcus Peters playing well this last game and going back to his last performance in Seattle, not so good. You know, he gave up over 150 yards and I think it was like 8 targets thrown his way, 7 completions, 2 or 3 touchdowns. So he's got a big game. Russell Wilson was confusing him with his eyes. We know Marcus Peters to kind of jump routes and take, you know, calculated risk. But, you know, with Russell Wilson, he's a smart quarterback. He's going to move you with his eyes. We got to see, you know, some composure there. But last time we didn't have Aqib Talib. We didn't have Eric Weddle. So those guys will be in this game. We'll see how that kind of changes things. You know, as we look at it, it's early, right? I mean, it's week 5. It's not, you know, crazy early, but it's still early in the season. But where we're at in this division, 3-1 versus 3-1. San Francisco is 3-0 until Sunday. Do you look at this? How bad does a loss hurt here? Is this an early version of a must-win game in the division?
So I'm not about to say that this would be the 2016 Rams that they lost, because I mean they'd be 3-2,
right?
And they'd have another matchup against Seattle, and they, you know, already have a matchup, you know, the following week against the 49ers, so they can make up plenty of ground in the division. However, it would be really it would start to kind of move towards that narrative that I've completely stomped on and made fun of the Super Bowl hangover. And you know, I think it's kind of a joke, but if the Rams were to lose this game, that is all that people are going to talk about, because we've seen it in the past. We've seen teams like, remember when the Falcons went like 6-0 or 7-0 and people are like, oh, this is the team to beat. And then they lost like 7 straight, or like the Steelers that were 7-2 last year, 7-2-1. And like, they didn't even make the playoffs. You know, I mean, that happens. That legitimately happens. Now, I think this team is way too talented to the point where, you know, they got away with a win in Cleveland. Did they outplay Cleveland? Absolutely. But they made a lot of mistakes that put Cleveland in the game to win the football game. They almost got away in Tampa Bay. I mean, if Goff, you know, led them down the field and, you know, they get that 2-point conversion, don't look at the score, because the score doesn't indicate how close that truly was, you know, and should they have been there? Maybe not. But bottom line is Goff and the Rams were driving down the field to potentially tie the game at 55, which is not 55, 48, which is incredible to me that they even, and I, you know, it kind of made me give them a pass, because it wasn't like an, you know, Atlanta Falcons
right.
beat down.
The effort the was there.
It wasn't the Bills.
Points were there.
You know, when like Nickell Robey-Coleman Nickell Robey-Coleman had like 2 pick sixes against the Rams, again, you know, when they faced the Bills. It was like they literally did not give up on that game. They kept fighting back. And, you know, Jameis Winston made his, you know, his daily mistake although, you know, got to give him credit. He was really good, but he made that mistake, yeah, and that was huge. You know, if the Rams could have capitalized on that, you know, then despite Jameis's, you know, great game, that interception would have been a huge blemish, you know, on that whole game. Sure. And so he ends up winning NFC Player of the Week, but I mean, that could have been a lot
very
different.
Very different if that goes the other way. So I'm with you. I mean, I think you're right. I think it, you know, it can get ugly with a loss here. We got San Francisco our next game, so we can make up some ground pretty quick if, you know, we get them at home, if we can kind of recoup. So it's not the end of the world at this point. We get Seattle again. But again, I don't think, like you said, I don't think we're this 2016 team where all of a sudden we start, you know, going into this, you know, fallout mode where we lose a couple in a row. I just think our coaching staff's too good. I think our talent's too good. But with this game, Thursday night, tonight, as we speak, as people are listening, it is tonight. What's your prediction, score prediction, thought on how it turns out?
Yeah, so I have 27-23 Rams. I think it's going to be a thriller. I think it's going to be exciting. It's going to come down the wire. The Rams are going to be losing on the final possession, and Jared Goff is going to throw a game-winning touchdown pass to, we'll say, Tyler Higbee.
I like it.
We'll give Higbee some love. You know, I think really the key to the Rams to win this game is obviously you got to protect Jared Goff. They have to start showing improvement as an offensive line, albeit, you know, it's a short week. So to expect the offensive line to somehow get better in a shorter week of preparation, that's a little, you know, ridiculous. But they have talent. I mean, there's a reason, you know, Andrew Whitworth and Rob Havenstein, there's a reason why the Rams signed Havenstein long term. Bottom line is you can't have him playing like that. You know, Whitworth has the excuse because he's older. Havenstein isn't older. He's in his prime. They already paid him. So he needs to, you know, step up because they chose him over over Jamon Brown. And at one point, Brown looked better than Havenstein. But that's neither here nor there. The key to the game is don't let Jadeveon Clowney and former Ram Quentin Jefferson blow up the game.
It's going to be something we got to figure out quick because, again, the game is today. And you're right. Long term, what are the answers looking even behind those guys and the guys they drafted? Who's going to be ready to step up if we need to turn this into an offensive line battle at certain positions? Do we have the depth to do it? Me and you aren't really sure about that yet, but I guess we'll find out in due time. But as this game, I'm looking at it, I think it's really close. I think it goes over the 30 mark. I have it 31-30 Rams. You have it as an offensive touchdown to win the game. I think my heart would, I don't know if my heart can handle either of these.
Well,
games,
I don't want that to happen. Let's just be real here, Brad. I don't want to be sitting there sweating.
The prediction. Yeah, the prediction. Yeah, let's blow them out. That 45 whatever game a couple years ago would sound pretty good right about now. But I think it's a defensive stop. But this is a team that gave up 24 points in the fourth quarter. We did have a big play from Marcus Peters with that pick six. But I would like to see our defense out there trying to stop Russell Wilson and or, you know, another 50 yard bomb from Greg the Leg, because that is probably our most, you know, probably the most comfortable person I'd like to see on the field with a game tying situation or, you know, when you're looking to grab a lead. So I have it as very close. I have it over the top, over 30, 31, 30 Rams. Hopefully, if like we talked earlier, let's just get a lead at halftime and just ride that stat out to the finish line and see if we can just hold on to that lead. But I think it's early, starting this game out early. We got to get up there, get some points, get this offense going, get some confidence in the run game. You know, Jared Goff gets some protection. Defense plays good for four quarters. It all sounds good on a podcast on Thursday. Can they execute it on Thursday night? We'll have to find out. Jake, thank you so much for joining me again. We look forward to talking to you. Hopefully, we're talking about a win, a recap, and how do we get better. But we'll talk to you next week. Until then, my man, take it easy.
Thanks, man. Enjoy the game. I'll definitely be enjoying it as well.
Oh, man. Gotta love some national televised game. But with that said, you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time.
Peace. Go win.